now we're doing a sermon series. It's called A Beacon That Beckons. And the idea is, in an airfield, a beacon is a thing that shows everybody the way home. So when you say a beacon, this is drawing people in. The beacon that beckons. How do we do that? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. And most often we think, well, to be a beacon that beckons and to make disciples, we have to be Bible experts. We have to be expert evangelists. Perfect day, like sunshine and 60 degrees and slight breeze, you know, like National Geographic quality photo stuff. And I was in the woods, in trees, doing fun stuff. I mean, what's not to love, right? And so at the end of that day, I was like, man, this is like, how could you top this? This is like the best day ever. So a friend of mine, whose name is Joe, we met because he was a former Army. And it was easy to remember because I called him G.I. Joe. So he was former Army. He came to seminary, and he was going back to be an Army chaplain. And so the military guys in seminary tended to bond together. You can recognize him, short hair, walk in square corners. So we all kind of bonded together and got to know each other. And so I'm cleaning up all the equipment, get the last thing. The staff is gone. I'm there all by myself, and I turned to walk to my car. And here's Joe, pulls up in his truck. I'm like, Joe, what are you doing here, man? You're not working today. He goes, I know. And he walks out, and he's got this cupcake, and he sticks a candle in it. It's like, happy birthday. It's like, what are you doing here, man? It's like 25 minutes from campus. Don't you have class today? He goes, yeah, I'm supposed to be there, but it's your birthday. I was like, yeah, that's what I said. Well, I didn't say, oh. I said, cool. I don't have a tear in my eye. Yeah, I've got nothing in my eye here. Yeah, no, I did the manly thing. We gave him a big man hug, you know? But here I'm thinking that this guy, first of all, how did he know that it was my birthday? How did he know that I was at the challenge course because I wasn't on the schedule? How did he know the right time to come where it would catch me leaving and them already gone? How did he know all that? I don't know. He's really good and kind of creepy. So, but he figured all that out. And he came on my birthday to give me a cupcake with a candle. How cool is that, right? So do you think I would do anything for Joe at this point? Yeah, absolutely. Almost, yeah. But yeah, so this is what it means to serve someone. Joe had no gain from this. It cost him a cupcake and a candle and driving time, and I think he missed part of class. He may have wanted an excuse to miss class. I don't know, but the point is he made time. He spent time. He invested time in our friendship. And I thought that was the most awesome thing ever. The day that couldn't get any better just had icing on the cake. But I'll be in town all day. All right, so that's what service can do. That service, even though he said very little, hey, happy birthday. We say that all the time, but it's the way that he did it. It's the service behind what he said that shone that light. So you may be thinking, well, what is it with me in service? How do I deal with service? Because there are so many needs. There are many obstacles that will prevent you from wanting to serve. I guarantee. I've heard them all. I've experienced them all. I've rationalized them all. There's so many needs. How could I possibly make a difference? I'm just a drop in the bucket in a sea of humanity. Well, I would serve, but those people take advantage of you, so I don't want to be taken advantage of. Well, why do they need help? Why don't they just get their act together? They could get out of this if they just really wanted to. These are all the rationalizations we have against serving. But all of those rationalizations that we have, all of those excuses and obstacles that we can put in the way of serving, when you put them in the light of Jesus' words, they melt away. We have no more excuses. Now, I hope I've not exposed anyone here with your motive, but relax for just a second. Because we're going to talk about serving the way Jesus would serve. And the way Jesus serves is not a burden, it's not an obstacle, it's an opportunity. And that's the way I want us to look at service today in many ways. So the tension here is, why do you serve? That's probably the first question to ask. Now, if you look closely at this picture, this was the last house that WordServe did, full out. We totally revamped this entire house. Guess who's painting the exterior? The youth group. Is anybody nervous now that there's kids on the roof? If you weren't, you are now, right? So the youth group went out there and they're painting the exterior of this house. This is service. This is why we do this in our culture, in this church. We want our faith to have feet. We want our faith to have hands. We want our faith to be actionable and be seen by the community. Now, one of the other things that some people will say, well, you know, I don't want to draw attention to my service. Jesus would say, serve quietly. Really? What Jesus says is maybe pray quietly. He says, serve out loud. Serve in a way so that your deeds are seen by people so that God gets the glory. We talked about that verse last week. Serve out loud, Union Chapel. That's what it's about. And that's what we wanted our kids to experience. So the words of Jesus that we're going to go to today are found in Matthew 25. I always put a question up for you to ponder. The pondered question today is, what if our serving showed our Savior? Matthew 25, if you want to follow along, I'll be reading from verses 34 through 40. Here we go. And this is in the middle of several of Jesus' parables. And so when Jesus tells a parable, the beauty of a parable is it's memorable because it's a story. So here's the story. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or need clothing and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. These are the words of God for the people of God, and for these words we are grateful. So there's a list of needs, and there's pretty clear guidance from Jesus. We got to take care of the least of these. Now, you may be looking at this list and your initial need as we unpack this. We're going to walk through a couple of things. The initial need that shines so brightly is the very, very basics. People need to eat. People need to drink. People need something to wear. Yeah, I got it. Okay. Now, I have certain feelings, caveat to all of this, that service should not be enabling. That's not always a popular thing with some people, but service should not be enabling. In other words, it's the old saying, if you give a person a fish, you feed them for a day. If you teach them to fish, you feed them for a lifetime. Yeah, if somebody is constantly in this boat and they're capable of getting out of it, then part of my service to them is maybe a little mentoring as I establish a relationship. Maybe something that helps them get out of this constant rut that they're in, this cycle of doom, and gets them up and out. I'm getting ahead of myself, so I'm going to stop there and go back to the scripture before I get too far. But the needs that you pick up on immediately are very, very basic. I need something to eat, drink, and wear. But here's the need that everybody misses. And I think, personally, this is the most important one. This is the one that makes the difference between the church and some other service organization. Because anybody can hand out clothes. Anybody can hand out water. Anybody can hand out clothing. So what makes us different? It's this need right here. Did you miss it? I was a stranger. You invited me in. The need that we fill that is the most important need of all, in my humble opinion, is a need of belonging. Belonging here in Psalm 16:9 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. Folks, that's what makes us different. We know a guy. We know a presence. We live with that presence forever. And that presence gives us peace that passes understanding. That presence gives us strength when ours fails. That presence gives us a love that never leaves us and a love that we can spend like a millionaire going broke because there's more. It's like a Doritos commercial. Love all you want. We'll make more, right? You cannot run out of God's love. So quit trying to give him your own and give him God's love and you'll never run out. Make God's love your love, and you'll have an endless supply. You will be with that presence forever. And that's what we want for them. Because, yeah, I can hand you some clothes, but without that relationship, you're going to need clothes again. I can give you something to drink, but like Jesus said to the woman at the well, man, if you knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't ask for this water. You would ask for the living water. There's a big difference. That's what makes us different. That's what makes our serving such an opportunity, because we can connect them to this sense of belonging, the sense of reclaiming. Every bad thing that this world has done, every relationship that has been shattered, every time you were picked last for the dodgeball team, whatever it was that got you, we can redeem that in this ongoing, everlasting relationship. What more could anybody want? But here's the problem. They don't even know that they want that. If you're hungry and you're thirsty, the only thing you can think about is, man, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. If we can fulfill that basic need, those of you who are educators familiar with Maslow's hierarchy know, if I can fulfill the basic need, I can move to the next need. That relationship, that knowledge, that growth. Otherwise, they're just in an endless cycle. But this is the one thing that we can do different. Now, having said that, I'm either going to send Morse code or... Okay. We do need to look at what saves, because a lot of people will serve for this reason. It's what I'm supposed to do. Or I feel bad if I don't. Or I hope if I do enough good things that when I get to the gates of heaven, Jesus will go, yeah, you're in. It's not the way it works. So what saves? Not works. That's what doesn't save. There's a very specific verse about this that says it beautifully, and I've highlighted the red words for you to focus in on. Let me read the whole thing. You just focus on the red words. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, let me pause there for a second. Did you hear what it said? Not by works. You don't serve to be saved. We don't serve to be saved. So then why should I work? If I'm saved by grace through faith, man, I don't have to do anything. Ha ha, keep reading. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works. See, there it is. Paul is so confusing, isn't he? He just said don't work, and then he says now work. No, what he's saying is it's not by your works, but we are created to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. You're created to do good work. How about that? That should take away any excuse we have about not wanting to work. But it should also set the reason correctly of why we are saved. We are saved by grace through faith. If I work more than you, if I serve more than you, if I'm more capable than you, I can't boast. We're all saved by the same. We have one unique thing that everybody has in common. In Romans 3:23, it says we have all fallen short. How about that for a rallying motto? Hey, come to church where we've all fallen short, right? That doesn't sound like a winning team until you put it up against this. Because yes, we have all fallen short, but yes, we are all saved by grace through faith. Now that's a winning team. That's worth serving. So no, serving does not save. I just want to make that clear. And when it comes to serving and saving, sometimes we still get, yes, I'm saved, but I want to get the extra, right? So what we get is the cart before the horse. Do we serve to be saved, or do we serve because we are saved? That'll make all the difference in your motive. And people will pick up on that. They may not be able to put it to words, but they'll know if you're there because you're supposed to be there. They'll know if you're there because you have to serve. My church made me. Or they'll know that you're there because someone once made a difference in your life. I don't know, maybe somebody once brought you a cupcake with a candle in it. Whatever it is, right? But we don't serve to be saved, we serve because we are saved. And that is an important difference to make. You know, maybe if I throw it. Okay. So what's at stake here? Yeah, like, okay, I get, okay, so why I should serve, great deal. So maybe I serve so I feel better for a week. Maybe I serve so that I have a good reputation in the community. Or maybe I serve because it matters in eternity. This is one of those times when it's good to read the Bible in circles. And what I mean by that is if you read a passage and it has something that speaks to you, then read a little bit before it and a little bit after it, and then read a little bit more before it and a little bit more after it, and you'll start to get what we call context. Let me read a little bit before it, which will encourage you, and then let me read a little bit after it, which will terrify you. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All nations will be gathered before him. He will separate people from one another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And guess which passage I read right after that? The one where you serve. The one where you saw someone hungry and fed them and thirsty and gave them something to drink. The one where you invited the stranger in. Those are the people that go to this version. Let me keep reading. This will terrify you. Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing. Thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothing, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, you did not look after me." They will answer, "Lord, when did we see this?" And he will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for me, for the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Yeah. Now, if I said these are the words of God for the people of God, would you say amen to that? Right? See, it's important. What we do matters in eternity. It makes a big difference. So, eternal ramifications, good and bad. So, practically, how do we do this? How do we do this thing called service in a way that makes our light shine before people so God gets the glory? Number one, see the person, not the project. At WordServe, we've always said it's not about the house. We've repaired several houses throughout our history. It's never about the house. It's about the people in the house. It's about the relationships that we build. It's about the relationships that we help them build with Christ. That's what it's about. Never see just the project. See the person behind the project. That's what real witness means. The second one, meet more than just the surface need. Yes, I will feed you. Yes, I will give you something to drink. But is there something deeper than that? What is it that's got you in this position? But by the grace of God, there go I, right? You could be that person. You could be devastated by a relationship, by a sickness, by a loss of a job, by a medical diagnosis. There's a million things that might cause you to have these issues. So don't look at the person, look at beyond the person to the deeper need. And don't try to fix that deeper need yourself, but let them know that you know a guy that can fix that. Bring them into that community, which, again, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Serve with the two R's. Right, when we had WordServe philosophy, it was always the two R's of missions. That's repeatable and relational. Because if you repeat something and I see somebody often enough, I can establish a relationship. If I can establish this relationship, I can establish this relationship. If I can establish this relationship, I can bring them into a whole new world. That just sounded like a Disney princess. But you know what I mean, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to burst out into song. Finally, tell your story. When people ask, "Why are you doing this?" You know, sometimes I'll hear, "Why are you doing this?" Well, it's what we're supposed to do. That do anything for you? It's like, yeah, well, that might be true. It's what we're supposed to do, but why are you doing this? Man, let me tell you about what God's done in my life. And it doesn't have to be a lengthy story. In fact, it's better if it's not at that stage. It's just a, how has God impacted your life? What difference has God made in your life? What peace do you have that this world can't give? What tough thing has God gotten you through? And just share that with him. That's all it takes. It doesn't take much. Like I said, little is probably better at this point. But tell them your story. And you may be saying, "Well, Bill, I don't really have a story. I don't know how God has worked in my life." Well, you're sitting here. God must be doing something in your life. So if you haven't taken time to realize what God has done for you, that's a great time of reflection. What has God done for you? What tough time has God gotten you through? Put that into a 30-second spiel, and the next time somebody says, "Why are you doing this?" Well, you've got a ready answer. A ready answer that will give God the glory and not you, which is the whole point. And then remember the point. This is the point. The whole reason that we serve. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your Heavenly Father. That's Jesus saying that. That's why they're in red, red letters. I didn't make this up. That's him. So, yeah, we don't serve quietly. We serve out loud. We serve so that the light shines, but we serve so that he gets the glory behind the light that's shining. It's not about me. It's about him. Always about him. So as we get ready to go, I'm going to show a video here shortly. And this video is going to require us to cut the stream. So let me just say this. If grace lit the light, then service keeps it shining. And as we say farewell to our home viewers there, man, I wish you were here to hear the rest of the story. But this is only for people.